Let's go to Romans chapter 7. I'd like to start by reading verses 15 through 25. Romans chapter 7, 15 through 25. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Then if I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am! Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. I can empathize with Paul. Can you? Every single day of my life, I want to do good. There's a good that I want to do, and I don't do it. Every single day of my life, there's an evil that is set before me that I do not want to do. And guess what happens? I do it. Oh, wretched man that I am. There's time that there's sin in my life has got such a hold on me that it's hard to overcome. It's hard to get through. And it's hard to do what God wills me to do. And there's not a person in this room that is any different than me when it comes to this. We are faced with trials and struggles in our lives that just overwhelm us at times. I need help. I need help. In June of 1872, a young lady, mom, housewife by the name of Annie S. Hawks, when asked before she died of this account, she said, I was standing before the window in my kitchen, looking out, was blessed immensely, and could not imagine a life without my Lord and Savior. Could not imagine a life without my God. I felt so filled with the nearness of my Master that I wondered how anyone could live without Him. And she said in this account that the scripture in John 15:5 came to mind to her. And that is where Jesus said, for without me you can do nothing. Without me you can do nothing. This prompted Annie Hawks to pen the words to I Need Thee Every Hour. Number 52 in the Red Book. I need thee every single hour. I've had this song going around in my head all week long. I think our three little pigs know the verses by heart. If not the verses, they've got the chorus down. I need thee every hour. So this morning I'd like for us to look at that song and see the words that were written by Annie Hawks and apply them and be encouraged by the scripture that we can find lessons from and how we can live more perfectly for God. Oh, wretched man that I am, I need help. I need thee every hour. Verse number one says, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I'd like to focus on the graciousness of God for just a little bit. The gift that God has blessed us with. The grace that has been given to all mankind. most gracious Lord. If you will, turn back to Romans 5, just a couple chapters here back, and let's read verses 15 through 21. It says in Romans 5, "But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense," he's speaking of Adam and Christ here, the two men, "for if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in the life through the one, Christ Jesus. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Most gracious Lord, there was a sin that came upon the world, and there had to be something to take the sin away, and God provided that gift, that gracious gift for us, which is Jesus. I'd like to do a little drawing here and a little writing if I can. And let's look at this chapter a little more in depth and consider the outcomes of sin and of grace. And in the scripture, starting in verse 15, we see that there is, on one side, we have sin or the offense. And then on the other side, we see that God has provided, instead of sin, grace. And it is a gift. "O wretched man that I am, living on this side," there's all sorts of things that take place. And there's all sorts of I don't know if you could call them blessings, but all sorts of things that happen because of sin. One that we find in the Scripture is the condemnation. Condemnation comes upon man, and because of condemnation, we see that there is a death that takes place. There's judgment, and there's also sinners. This is me right here. Every single day of my life. Every day. There's condemnation, there's death, there's judgment, there's sin. But because of God's graciousness and because of His gift, we have something else. There's justification. I'm just abbreviating this morning. There's life. There's righteousness. I need Jesus Christ and God every hour of my life so that I can no longer be this guy, but I can be this one. I can be justified. I can have life. I can have righteousness in my life. Without that graciousness of God, we're stuck over on this side. What a blessing. What wonderful words that Annie wrote. With the graciousness of God, I need it every hour of my life. The second part of that first verse talks about the tender voice. The tender voice, "No tender voice like thine can peace form." Do you listen to our Savior? Do you listen to what He says in His Word? Do you hear the tender, sweet words that He has said to us? Just a few here that came to mind. "I will give you rest," Matthew 11:28. "Don't worry, but seek Me," Matthew 6, 33 and 34. How happy you are in me. Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, verses 3 through 10. Forgive your brother. Luke 17, 3 through 4. I am the bread of life. John 6 and 48. I will abide in you. John 6 and 56. And I give you eternal life. John chapter 10, 28 and 29. Jesus spoke so many sweet words for us to listen to. Are we hearing them? Do we listen to God? Do we listen to Christ and hear the sweet words that have been given to us? Every hour of my life, I need to listen to the words and let these words give me peace. Let these words comfort me and allow them to teach me, allow them to correct me so that I may change and become a better child of God. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. Temptations lose their power. We already agreed that we all have this problem in our life, the temptations that are set before us. 1 Peter, the first chapter, 13 through 16, allows us to have a remedy to overcome temptation. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16 says, therefore, gird up your loins, the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. In order for us to have power over the temptations of our life, we must gird up the loins, prepare our mind. Our mind has to be prepared to face those temptations every day. If we're not prepared, we're going to give in. But if we have prepared our minds for those things that are going to come, and they're going to, then we have a strong hold against them. And the only way that we can do that is to discipline our minds with the mind of Christ. Become holy. Become holy. It means to act like Him. It means to think like Him. It means to live like Him. It means to be like Him every hour of our life. Then we will have the ability to not be tempted beyond what we can handle. Then we will see and understand the way of escape that is provided for us. Then we will be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Without having our minds prepared, that verse has no effect. Because we cannot be ready. We cannot, without Christ in our life and in our minds, be prepared to fight against the temptations. James 4, chapter verse 7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Being prepared, having Christ is our preparation against temptations in our life. The devil doesn't even try. Oh, maybe he wants to stick a jab in here every once in a while, but he ain't going to try on you like he does somebody else that's not prepared. They're easy picking. So I need thee every hour. The second verse again. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. Verse number 3 says, I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I don't know about your life, but my life seems to be on this crazy roller coaster ride, up and down and around, and you never know which turn it's going to take. One minute things are going smooth, and the next minute it just plummets. One minute you think all things are happy and great, and the next thing sorrow comes into your life because of something that's happened. That's life. God put that into motion for us, and we have to deal with it. Well, I need Jesus. I need God to help me get through those times. in joy or in pain. My life is full of ups and downs. God never promised me a rose garden. No, He didn't. And just because I'm a Christian, it doesn't exempt me from pain and suffering. If anything, I think as a Christian, we have better knowledge and more pain and suffering because of that. But God did not exempt me. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Solomon, the wisest man besides Jesus that walked on earth, penned these words about the oppressed. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Then I returned and considered all the oppression that is done under the sun. And look! The tears of the oppressed, but they have no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors, there's power, but they have no comforter. Therefore, I praise the dead who are already dead, more than the living who are still alive. Yet better than both is he who has never existed, who has not seen the evil work that is under the sun. The oppressed man is a man without hope, a man without power that is given to him by God. An oppressed man is doomed. Solomon recognized it. Look at the tears of him. He has no comforter. When we get down in our life, when we have pain in our life, and when we have something that brings sorrow upon our heart, we have comfort. We have a comforter. Isaiah 51:12, Isaiah there wrote as a prophet God's words. He said, "I, even I, am the one who comforts you." There was no more that they needed in the Old Testament times than God to comfort them. And there's no more than what we need today than our Savior and God. Over in John the 14th chapter, in verses 15 through 18, we see that Jesus was thinking of us today too. John 14, 15 through 18. Christ said, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Christ was not going to leave us alone here on earth. He knew that this man that I am would need help, that I would need him every hour of my life. And because he knew that, he left me the power to overcome suffering, the power to overcome pain, and the power to have joy with the comforter, such as a spirit that is given to us. Galatians, the fifth chapter. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." The last part of that verse says, verse number 3 says, "Come quickly and abide, or life is vain." Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. So stand fast in the liberty which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I need Christ every hour of my life to help me not live a life of vanity. Go back through the book of Ecclesiastes and see how much of a vain life Solomon lived, and how much our life parallels that at times. Well, we need to recognize that we need Christ to help us live a life that is blessing God. If I am tangled in the sin of my old life before I ever had Christ, the life that I was living before Him, there's nothing good that can come from me. Dwelling with my Savior will enable me to produce the fruit that is required by God. We need to have Him every hour of our life to live a life that is not in vain. Verse number 4 of the song. I need thee every hour, most holy one. O make me thine indeed, thou blessed son. Make me thine indeed. I want to be his. There's a distinction, isn't there, in the Bible between the sheep and the goats, between the righteous and the unrighteous, between those who are faithful and unfaithful. It's plain and simple right there, drawn out for us. I want to be his. I want to be thine indeed. John the 17th chapter in verses 20 through 26 expands on this. Just a little bit of how much Jesus wanted us, how much he loved us, even before he went to the cross. John 17, verses 20 through 26. You see, he was saying some prayers at this time. And he prayed for us at that time. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, and I in me, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Jesus Christ loved us so much. He wanted us so bad. He didn't leave us alone. He gave us a helper. He gave us a comforter. And he gave us the ability to come to him and to be part of him. Matthew, the 18th chapter and verse 11 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." Jesus knew that. He said this, "I have come to seek and save those who are lost." There's an opportunity to be part of him. And he knew the thoughts of man. He knew the mind of man. And he even said in Mark 8:36, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" That's what man thinking about. Thinking about the things he can do in this life, the things he can gain. Jesus said, there's no profit there. You need to come to me. So what does he expect? What does Christ want us to do? What is the expectation in order for us to have Christ every hour of our life? Luke 14, 26 and 27 says there, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." It's pretty plain and simple, isn't it? God expects a sacrifice on our part. He expects us to sacrifice what? My entire life. This isn't just a game. This is serious business. God wants my entire life. I need him every hour. He needs me to be his every hour. Not just every once in a while. Not just once a week. Not just once a month. But once a year. I love the writing of Psalm 51. Because it paints such a beautiful picture of how I need to be. In order to be in relationship with God, in order to be his indeed. The psalmist wrote here, and I believe it was David after his sin with Bathsheba, and how he truly recognized the sin in his life, and how he truly wanted to be forgiven, and how he truly wanted to live for God all the days of his life. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Is it possible for me to have a heart such as the psalmist here? Is it possible for me to recognize the transgressions of my life to the extent that I want to give them all to God? I want God to take everything away from me. Is it possible for my heart to be broken to the extent that I know it needs to be healed? And the only one that God can heal it, the only one that can heal it is God. Seeking forgiveness, needing God, and needing His salvation every hour of my life. I sure need God, and I sure need Jesus every hour. I need to hear His voice and understand His word. I need His power to overcome the temptations that face me every day of my life. I need His comfort in time of pain and in time of sorrow. And I need Him to make me His every hour of my life. Let's sing number 52 as our closing song. And if you have a need this morning and you know you need Christ for something, maybe you have sorrow, maybe you've had something that has caused you to lose sight of your Savior, maybe you don't have Christ as your Savior yet, then it's your opportunity to come before Him and become His today as we sing number 52, I Need Thee Every Hour.